Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when we worship the Lord, we do lift Him up. But please understand this. When you try to lift up a God that's already lifted up, and I say to Him, which is nothing wrong with, God, you're great. Well, He's great already. Whether I say it or not, He's great. That doesn't increase it. It doesn't decrease it. But if I look at you and say, He's great, then God is magnified. You see? Whole big difference. And we spend a lot of time looking this way, saying, God, you're great. God, you're good. And He's all those things. And we should continue that. But until I tell you He's good. So that the angels flying around while we're having service, they're looking not at God, they're looking at each other, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God Almighty. He is the Lamb slain before. They're looking at each other. On the mercy seat, the cherubims are looking at each other. Hallelujah. So if you really want to magnify God, don't tell God, tell somebody else about God. And that magnifies God. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's another sermon right there, brother. Don't you take that sermon from me. I had to get it out there. I got to worry. He'll steal. He's a thief. He's a thief. He'll take a little something I say. Ooh, that can preach. I said, you better leave that alone. Exodus chapter 25 and 12. Thank you for coming this morning. Oh, Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's right. The first day of every month is a new year, a fiscal year. Now, they have calendar years and have fiscal years, but this is a new year. Amen. Actually, every day is a new year, a new day. Exodus 25 and 12. And thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, speaking of the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of God, and put them in the four corners thereof. So think about this box, and on the end of each corner, right in the corner, there is a golden ring that they cast out of gold. And two rings shall be in the one side of it, and two rings on the other side. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. So it's a stick, nothing but a piece of wood, but I want you to take and wrap that piece of wood with gold. And thou shalt put the stave, the gold sticks, into the rings, the gold rings, by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne. Everybody say burden. Burden that may be born of them, and they lift it up and put it on their shoulders, so that all that was touching the Ark of the Covenant was made of gold. Reading in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, reminding you of that, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, which was the Ten Commandments. Those three things were inside of the Ark of God. And over the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, they looked over so that if you put a light on top of it, it was a shadow over the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. I want to talk about the bearing, the load. I want to talk about the burden of glory. The burden. See, the Ark of the Covenant is where the glory of God would come, but in order to have the glory, somebody had to carry the burden. So I want to talk about the burden of glory. God, I come before you this morning. I'm thankful for everyone that's here. Amen. I ask that you open our understandings to your word, that we can apply it to our lives and become better Christians each and every day we live, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'll hurry along this morning. I have a lot to tell you in a little bit of time. When you normally think of anything that would be glorious, you don't think of a burden. Right? I mean, think something glorious. Well, what we don't see was the burden to get to the glory. Every display of glory has a story of burden behind the glory. You know, when you watch a play, an act, or a movie, whatever it is you watch, you don't see how many times they said, cut. No, that's not how you do it. You saw the glory stage, but you didn't see what happened, the burden of people crying and the tears trying to get their part right and going home with them and them studying and going over and over. You didn't see that. And when that trophy is handed to those quizzers that play the games of whatever they call it, quiz teams and all that, and they got the trophy. You weren't there with Mom and Dad and Uncle Joe or whoever was teaching them those scriptures night after night. No, you didn't. You missed the in there. And if you don't have the or the A, you don't get credit for it. Oh, you don't see the tears. What you saw was the glory of we won. But I'm here to tell you, for every glory, there is a story of a burden that somebody had to bear to share the glory with you. We all want to share in the glory. We don't want to carry the burden. And I've told people that's come here when I first got here, if you don't want to, we don't need people that want to ride. We need people that want to push. If you want to ride, there's churches that you can go ride in. But I still, and this day, looking for people who want to push. I'm still in the story stage, if you will. I hadn't quite got to the glory stage. I still want to push. I still want to work. I still want to labor. And later we'll have the glory. And it's glorious all along when you realize that even Christ said he endured the cross for the glory or the joy that lie ahead. So the burden's not so bad when you know you put it on your shoulder and you know the glory will come. I'd hate to carry a burden all my life and never get the glory of the burden. Hallelujah. So when we see one of the first glory stories that there is in the Bible, it is really that of Noah. Of Noah. That's one of the first glory stories. Because Adam and Eve, you know, that was glorious. And then, boy, they were kicked out. And you don't really see about the glory and the saving power of God until you get to the story of Noah. And the story that supports the glory of Noah was that Noah moved with fear to the saving of his home household and prepared an ark. So without an ark, there is no glory. Without the burden of 120 years of tack this, hold that, take that off, that doesn't look right, daub it on the inside, daub it on the outside, and patching it, whatever he had to do, 120 years of a story for one day of glory. And he stayed in the boat a year. My, all the animals they had to put up with and the things that he had to bring in. Now, I want you to notice that Noah gets inside the ark. Right. He built an ark and he gets inside the ark. He gets inside the ark. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Genesis 6 and 18. See, because this was one of the first covenants that God made with man concerning salvation. But with thee I will establish my covenant that thou shalt come into the ark. You build it and get in it, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. You know, there's a great importance to learn from here about salvation. You need to try to save your own household. Too many preachers, and I'm not faulting them, but yet I guess I am, went out and saved the world and lost their own household. What good is that? What good would it be to go to heaven and you saved other people and you lost your own, the ones you brought into this world? And every living thing and all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing, of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee and keep them alive. And take unto thee all food that, now just think of the burden. I mean, you think I'm feeding animals for a whole year. I mean, monkeys need bananas. Yeah. Horses need hay. Giraffe need leaves. I don't know what hippopotamuses eat. But he had to find something to feed all the... You talk about a burden. My. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it unto thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah. Well, God, you know, I don't know if I can carry all this on my shoulder. You're asking too much of me. You know, I can't do this and that and this in the church. That's just too much, you know. Thus did Noah. according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Oh, my God, what a story of a man that was obedient under the commandment of God. Didn't question anything. Lord, you help me. You give me strength. I'll do it if you'll help me. And it was the Lord help. He called those animals. Noah didn't have to go, y'all come on. The Lord put something inside those animals to get on that ark. And this was a huge burden for Noah to carry out. But the burden of the glory was passed from, it was on Noah's shoulders. But God would get the glory. I'm trying to help you understand that the glory of God is on your shoulders. The burden's on your shoulders. If God's going to get any glory, it's up to you. It's not up to God. It's what you do with your burdens is where God gets the glory. So that Paul said, when I am weak, then I am made strong through Christ. I rather rejoice in my infirmities that the strength of God might be displayed. So if you want to be strong and mighty and say, hey, by my might I did this, what glory does God get? But when you have a burden, God gets the glory of the story. Are you with me this morning? And then the next glory we see after Noah's day, you know, Noah was saved, and we know the story of the glorious day when Noah gets out and offers a sacrifice unto God. Thank God. God got glory that day. But the next glory we see involves the ark. It's called the ark of God. Yeah. Moses follows the commandments of God just like Noah did. He said, see that you make this thing according to, as I showed you, the pattern in the mount. You do it exactly the color I said, the golden rings like I said. You do it exactly like I said. And Moses does that. The burden of getting the purple and the frillies and the bells and the all the stuff that the priest wore was on Moses. But oh, the glory that followed that story. Hallelujah. And so we read all the details that was required of Moses, and it became quite burdensome. But once Moses completed all the things that God had, he said, I want you to take golden rings, cast them out of gold, put them on each corner, two on each side, and I want you to take this piece of wood, this stick, if you will, and I want you to overlay it with gold, and then I want you to take that and put it on the shoulders of four men that they might carry the ark so that it would be a golden link. That's another good sermon, the golden link. Because man could not touch that ark. He was not clean. He was not pure. He was not like gold that could be purified. So we find that Uzzah, when he touched it, he died. But he said, I want there to be a golden link so that man touches a golden stick, and the golden stick touches the golden ring, and the golden rings are fastened to an overlaid golden ark. Wow, the purity of our God that he requires to touch him. My. The sincerity that the woman, even though she had the issue of blood, she was contaminated by the diseases of this world, but her heart was good as gold. If I can but touch him, I will be made whole. That's a pure heart. And so the burden to build and the burden to carry was upon the priesthood and upon Moses, the Levites. However, the glory of God would show up as they carried the burden and laid it down. They would carry the burden and lay it down. They would carry the burden and say, God, here it is. And God would show up and they would find mercy and atonement for their sins only because they carried the burden. Did they get the glory of God? So as Noah got in the ark, these men would carry the ark. And that what God would put in the ark were the things of God, his covenant with man. And all the things that would be in the ark had a testimony to them. Therefore, it was called the Ark of the Testimony many times. And everything that was put in there, now, a golden cup of manna. I want to show you, everything was in the ark, there was a story behind it. It didn't just say, pick up that golden cup. It's real pretty. Put that in there. No. There was a story behind that golden cup. Oh, how they didn't have anything to eat. And he said, save some of that. put it in the ark. And it was a testimony of when they cried out to God, God was there. When they were burdened with the things of this life, God was there. And then you had the Aaron's rod that budded when there was a revolt going on. And who's going to be our leader? Aaron took his rod and they said the one the next day that sprouts or whatever the case is. I don't remember exactly how that went, but I can tell you this. Aaron's rod budded and had almonds by the next day. And it was proof to all the other tribes that Aaron is our leader. So he showed them in a time of revolt, I'll give you direction. All these things was inside of the ark. Rather than them in the ark, it was the things of God in the ark. And then the Ten Commandments, and we know the story of that. But you know, all those things had weight. A golden cup's pretty heavy. Ten Commandments on stones, pretty heavy. I don't know how heavy Aaron's rod was, but it had weight too. And all these things went inside and increased the weight. It is estimated, I tried to look this up, and it was all over the map as to what that thing weighed. I found anywhere from 185 pounds to 500 pounds. You know, but when you think about they have to carry it, four people got to carry it, 500 pounds, four people, 100 something pounds, you don't want to go very far. So I tend to go with probably 185. You divide that between four, you probably go pretty good distance. But all I'm trying to say is that there was weight, there was a burden to this story that had to be carried. And inside of that ark was testimonies of God. Man wasn't in the ark, and God wasn't in the ark, but testimonies were in the ark. And man carried the burden of the ark, and God met them on top of the burden. So that when he would come down, he would come on top of the testimony, on top of the burden that man carried. The Bible says that he would transfer, if you will, the atonement is the transfer of God's forgiving power. He gives it to you. And if you read the whole Bible, just as a concept you need to think about in the whole Bible, the Bible is a book that teaches us about transfer. It's a transfer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? It's a transfer. Tasted of the powers of the world to come. It is a transfer. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. My joy. All these things are a transfer from heaven down to earth. Even the glory of God. He wanted his spirit. He said, my spirit I give unto you. So he's transferring the things from above to earthen vessels. So that we read the scripture, eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither entered the hearts of man. The things that God has in store for them. Do you have anything in storage? Sure you do. Open up your pantry. You say, well, I don't have a storage building. Oh, yes, you do. Open up your pantry. Those are things that you have in store that you do plan on using. And so God has a layaway system like people used to do at Kmart. I'll be back to get it. Here's the token of it. Here's the down payment. Here's a taste of it. But I will be back to get it. And there's nothing that God has he doesn't want